All right. Welcome back to the Technocast. I'm here with my lovely co-host, Chloe.
Co-host. Hello.
It's going to be a long day. And we are here with our guest, Tobias Rose, the founder of Complex Creative. Founded back in 2006, it's a web development company located here in Durham, North Carolina. Worked with nonprofit organizations, businesses, artists, institutions of higher education. He also teaches right down the street at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, in their MJ School, the Marketing Journalism School. And full disclosure, Complex has designed the website here at Technica. So just in case anybody thinks we're playing favorites or anything like that.
Yeah, we have to declare a conflict of interest.
Well, you are playing favorites, and that's the way you should do it.
So can you just kind of tell us a little bit about Complex and how you guys got started?
Yeah. So this is funny because on Monday, in class, I was going to let them leave class a little early, and they wanted to hear that story. So I think we upset a couple of the classmates, people that were ready to leave right then and there, because it's a longer story. But I'll truncate the story a bit. So I started the company in my dorm room. I went to North Carolina Central University, and I was a part of an organization called NSBE, the National Society of Black Engineers. And while I was a part of that organization, I got into web design and web development. So we're talking 1999, 2000. And this is also the age of Angel Fire and GeoCities websites. So everything sucked. Everything was really, really bad. And the most exciting thing we had for us in the game back then was Flash. So Flash was this animation plugin that browsers would have so that, you know, you could have more interaction and things like that. So started getting into that, taught myself Flash. And I did the website for our chapter at NCCU. So I did the website. The first one looked like a Christmas tree. It was really, really bad. And unfortunately, some people that I know have gone out and found that website. It's out there somewhere. I had spinning, you know, nails and screws and things on that and gears. It was the most horrible thing on the internet. And then I did an all-flash website with music. You can't find this website anymore, but it was really cool. And it got some notoriety in the organization. In particular, the University of Pittsburgh, their counterpart there, he reached out to me and said, man, this is really cool. I'm into Flash as well, and here's some of the stuff that I've done. So he showed me some of his websites, and we just developed this relationship where I would do things and send it to him, he would do things and send it to me, and I started to freelance. So one day he came up with the bright idea. He said, hey, why don't we start a business? And so we started a business, and we were trying to find a name. And I'm sitting in my dorm room, and The Practice was on TV. It was about this law firm.
The Practice, yeah.
I have never seen one episode of it. I just remember that it was on TV, or it was either on TV or the commercial came up, and I said, "Wow, The Practice! You know, we want to build a firm. You know, that's what you call a law firm. You call a law firm a practice, but in graphic design, this is a practice. So we called ourselves The Practice, and we did that for 4.5 years. After I graduated, I worked in IT, and I did that on the side. And then him and I went our separate ways in 2006, and that's when I rebranded and came up with Complex Creative. And so from 2006 until now, that's what we've done. And actually, we started out just doing websites, and now we are a full-service agency. So obviously, we did the Technica logo. We redesigned the Technica logo a couple of years ago, and we've also done things like we did the ceremonial seal for Duke University. So if you were ever to go to Duke University, go to a commencement ceremony, you would see, it won't be President Broadhead anymore, but you will see their president walk in with the seal or the crest that we designed. So we've done that. We've designed apps, whole corporate identities, obviously websites. My philosophy is if you're gonna be a graphic designer, you should be able to design anything. So that's what we are.
Great. Well, speaking of all that experience, what would you recommend, and I'm going to say something, but you can expand it, as the single most significant step a company should take to promote itself? Mm. And you can, you know, expand that beyond the single most important thing.
Well, understanding the voice of the company, understanding who you are. If you want to promote yourself, one thing you can do if you're a landscape architect. Actually, let's simplify this even more. If you cut grass for a living, let's just say that's what you do. Mm-hmm. If you cut grass for a living, you can go out and say, hey, I cut grass. This is what I do. Pay me. Yeah, all right, cool. But what makes people stand out is that story, that culture around what it is that they do. If you think about Apple, at the end of the day, Apple builds computers. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. But what is it that we associate with Apple? We associate this futurism, this progressive technology. That's what we associate with it. And you know, in some circles, there is a level of prestige associated with having an Apple. You know, even in the graphic design industry, if you have a Mac, there is a level of prestige. And if you are on a PC, people look down upon you. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you guys have been to my studio, so, you know, you see we have PCs at Complex. But, you know, that's the thing that separates them from Dell or from HP. You know, they have this entire culture around what it is that they do. So when you want to promote what it is that you do, you need to figure out how you want to do that. Do you want to affect the culture? Do you have an intriguing story? What is your, at the end of the day, what is your value proposition? And this is something that I talk to people about all the time, because there are different kinds of value propositions. You can say, you know, I provide a service that is of better quality than my competitors. Or you can say that I provide a service with a unique combination of things attached to it that my competitors don't. Or I'm cheaper than my competitors. So you have to figure out what that means and how that plays a role in the entire narrative. So you have to have a narrative. And you have to have context, because, you know, you could try to follow, you know, the steps of Apple, but you have to think that's a different market altogether. Apple is operating on a global scale. Mm-hmm. So you want to do what Apple does and you want to do it in Carrboro. Well, you need to change the context of your narrative, mm-hmm. because it's a different market. So understand who you are in order to go and tell people, you know, who you are. You know, you really have to know, you know, what your company is about, what your culture is about, what your story is about. And again, like I said, your value proposition. So I think those things are important.
Okay, so let's talk maybe just a little bit about sort of a company, when a company's kind of planning to start their online presence. Mm-hmm. What are maybe some crucial elements they should think of when they're looking to get into that, and when they're looking to start to plan out what they want their website and their online sort of presence to look like?
Strategy. We have a lot of people that come to us and they just want a pretty website. And at the end of the day, that's not what it's about. It's not about having just a pretty website. Pretty websites are cool. I love them. Obviously, that's what we do. But you need to know why that website exists. What's the purpose? There are calls to action. What's going to be the call to action? What do you want people to do once they land on that website? Is your website strictly informative? You know, is it there to sell more t-shirts? What is it that you want your website to do? So you have to understand that before you embark on a redesign or a design of your website. Why do you want it to be there? And the crazy thing about it to me is there's so many people that just don't know why they want a website, you know, and that's key. So I think understanding what your strategy is, understanding the purpose of your site, that's going to be key for you to be successful. Because at that point, then you can guide the process. Then you can say to the designer, hey, you know, I noticed that this is missing. I don't have a phone number. Or how do we guide them to that contact page? And in marketing, we refer to that as building a conversion funnel. So how do you start that funnel? If you don't have a strategy in mind, then there is just no way you can really win. You're just throwing darts at a board at that point and hoping something lands. So I think that's going to be, you know, that's key. Obviously, what I said before also needs to play a role. What's the story? How does that story, you know, play its part in the website? All these things have to be connected. All of it needs to play together. The story in the website, the narrative, and, you know, it should move through the website, the business cards, the letterheads, the social media presence, the voice. And when I teach students, one of the things that we talk about every semester is a style guide. And in the style guide, one of the things that's really, really important is determining what is that voice. For Complex Creative, we've even gone as far as to personify that voice. You know, what does this person look like? And there's this recurring image in the office of this guy or this girl that has on this suit, but then they take their suit off and roll their shirt up, and you see tattoos going all up and down their mm-hmm. arms, and that's kind of complex. You know, you just never know what you're dealing with. And then you find out this person likes to hang out at bars and drink whiskey, and then they come up, you know, they wake up in the morning and they just create all day long and handle business. And this is, you know, what does that person sound like? You know, what excites that person? And this is, for us, this is a hyperactive, super excited person. They just get excited about art and things that are creative. And so we use that when we write copy for our website or write copy for our social media. So even now, that's something we're revisiting. So even after you get that site out there, you have to figure out a plan for maintaining that narrative throughout the lifespan of that website and how to extend that narrative. But again, it all has to play back into that strategy. What is it that you want people to do?
So what do you do when someone comes to you and they don't have a clear idea? And let's say they have a lot of information and it seems like, oh, maybe it's all over the place, or they have a lot that they want to highlight about the company. Mm. How do you help condense that? I mean, I wonder if you take them through the steps of, you know, think about your strategy and think about your funnel.
It depends on the client, depends on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. We have a client right now, and I can't tell you too much about everything that they do, but I can tell you this. They came to us probably 8 years ago, and they had this idea for what they wanted to do. Within the last 8 years, some of those things that they've wanted to do have kind of happened. You've seen that innovation already happen. And so 8 years later, they came back to us and said, hey, this is what we want to do. So now we're ready to move forward. You know, we have funding and we're ready to give you money to make all these things happen. We want you to design it. So they gave me all this information. And in good conscience, I couldn't take their money. In good conscience, it just didn't make any sense for us to even start this project. So we had a series of conversations with them. We sat down, we talked about what the you know, what the core was of what it is that they did. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't really have a website or an app and just have a bunch of stuff in there. You can't just have a thing that's for everything. You need to have something that you do and that you do well. It goes back to that whole value proposition thing. So for them, I kind of went back, because I've done some mentoring for startups, so I kind of reverted back into that phase, and I've worked with them and I've been walking them through the process. I've challenged them in what it is that they do. We've had those kinds of conversations. We've had some tough conversations where I've told them, look, you know, I love this, but these people are doing this thing better. And if you don't think you can do it better than they're doing it, then there's no reason for you to even go that route. You know, how can you make it unique? So we've had people do that. We've had people come to us, and sometimes that's the process. There are times where we, you know, it's a faster process. We'll just sit down, we'll pare it down, we'll do some information architecture, we'll do market research with them to figure out who their market is, because they may not even know that. You have a lot of people with a lot of ideas, but you don't have too many people that know how to execute those ideas efficiently. So that's why we sit down, we do that, we help them understand who they are. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. You know, you really can't do something without knowing who you are. You don't know what your culture is. You don't know, you can't really personify it because you don't know what that looks like. So we do that, and then we back into the process of doing the design work. So that's kind of how we go about that.
Yeah. Okay. You briefly mentioned social media earlier, mm-hmm. but it is becoming like one of the most rapidly growing, I guess, markets for just about any company. How important do you see it in a company's sort of marketing strategy, and what are some tips you might have, maybe not just even for companies, but for people who are freelancing and doing their own thing, for sort of maximizing their potential?
You need to understand your audience in order to understand how to use social media. I will admit there are some things you do. There are some professions and companies out here that don't have any business being on social media. You know, it's just one of those things that's hot right now, so everyone wants mm-hmm. it. Everyone wants to be on Facebook. Everyone wants to be on Twitter. Everyone wants an Instagram. So you have to think about what it is that you do in order to understand. And this goes for people that want to be consultants. If they're consulting other people, this is the kind of conversation you need to have. What social media platform is going to benefit that company most effectively? if you're doing something that's really visual, something involving food, then yeah, Facebook or Instagram, that might be golden for you. You know, use either one of those. If you're doing something where you're working strictly on a B2B basis, maybe neither one of those are going to work because your audience is going to be hard to get. And I can tell you from experience, you will see your numbers in terms of your cost per click skyrocket. When you're working something as B2B, your cost per click, you know, I've done projects where the CPC, you know, is 20 cents, 10 cents per click, which is good when you start getting the numbers like that. But inversely, I've also done projects where the cost per click was $15, $25. That's expensive. And part of the reason why it was like that was because that audience was just so hard to get, or it was something that was really competitive. So you have to really, really, you know, sit down, be honest with yourself or be honest with the client on whether this is the right decision in terms of our marketing budget, in terms of our audience. Are those people really out there? Are they not out there? You know, which social media platforms should we be using? Which ones should we not be using? And in some rare occasions, you should be using all of them. If you're a major brand, you should be everywhere. So, you know, really understanding that. But then also how often, because in 2017, and I hate to say this, but in 2017, the life expectancy of content is very, very short. And it's very short because people have shorter attention spans than they did a long time ago. And it's not their fault. It's just you're bombarded with so much information throughout the day. You can't sit down and really just read the newspaper and absorb it and just sit with this thing and take the time to do that. You're getting an ad on social media. You click on this thing and this thing happens. While you're driving down the street, you see billboards. You see things on TV. All kinds of things are happening. And we got phones now. So we even have, there's more access to us. These advertisers have all kinds of access to us. And so we're doing things and things are happening. So how do you get that content to them and get them to read it? And what kind of content are you going to give to them? So, you know, unfortunately, that's one of the side effects of that is this whole quote unquote fake news movement. You know, you got content that's put out there, and this is sensationalism. That's what it is. At the end of the day, it is sensationalism. You'll see a headline. The headline will be really, really crazy. You're like, oh man, I need to click on that. And you click on it, and you read the story, and now you believe all that stuff that you've read. So, you know, that a lot of that stems from how do I get people to click on my content in social media? So there's also a responsibility attached to that. But yeah, you do need to figure out how to deliver that content. You need to figure out what kind of content makes the most sense for what it is that you do. And then again, this goes back to that strategy. What is it that you want people to do when they go to your website? What do you want them to click on? What is that call to action? Because it's still going to be relevant when it comes to social media. You're setting up that conversion funnel in a different place. It should start in different places. It should start, you know, on an ad or on Instagram or Facebook. That's where it starts, and they click on that. It takes them somewhere, a squeeze page or a landing page on a website where they click on something that has a call to action. So you have to understand your content in order to understand and understand how people resonate with your content in order to understand what you should put out there. And that's also going to affect the frequency, because it is a commitment. Social media management is I've done social media for restaurants, I've done it for different clients, and it is a commitment. You have to develop a schedule, you have to develop a calendar, you have to know what resonates with people, when things happen, and then, you know, there are holidays, there's all right. kind of stuff you have to be aware of with social media.
Yeah, we're becoming more and more aware of that yes. by the day here.
Yeah, there's a lot of holidays or unexpected days you should talk about.
Yes, yes.
I guess so. Going along that line, what do you think is difficult, or what are some pitfalls when working with clients? And hopefully not anything with technical.
Yeah, hopefully nothing we've done. Yeah.
Pitfalls when dealing with clients. Honestly, I like most of the clients that we have. You know, I do. If I didn't like them, then I would reject them, or I would find a way to cut through. And there have been times where we've had to come out of projects. Pitfall when working with clients, there are so many things that you have to be aware of. One of the things that I preach to my team is understanding, and this has become a dirty word, but it's not a dirty word, this is just what it is, understanding the ignorance that they bring with them when it comes to what it is that we do. What we do this every day. And so we get to a place where, what do you mean? They didn't understand what a div was. They should know what a div is. Come on, everyone knows what a div is. No, they don't. They don't design and develop websites. So there's no reason why they should know that. So, you know, one of the pitfalls is always assuming that they know the things that you know. So sometimes you have to explain that. The tough piece with that is sometimes clients will say, I knew that already. And so it's hard to sometimes know how far you should go, especially when you're dealing with something technical. So that's one of the pieces. And then also just having multiple people in on a project and making sure that communication is really flowing the way that it should flow. Sometimes, you know, and it happens with us. I'm not even going to act like it doesn't, and we're perfect. But, you know, we're people, so people make mistakes. There are times where I may have a key piece of information that a member of my staff may need in order to get their piece done, and I don't realize this because I think I've thought that I put everything in the brief, but they may be missing that one piece. And so you have to know when to communicate. Look, I don't have that. You know, do you have this? Where is this at? So communication is a big piece. And then budgets. Budgets, obviously. You know, we've got clients, or we've got people that have come to us, and they have wanted us to do a million and one different things. And they'll say, well, you ask them, what's your budget range? And they won't tell you. And it's always hard to get that because there is a trust factor associated with that. Because you have agencies out here where when you tell them what the budget is, they'll say, oh, we can spend all that money. And it's just gotten to that point now where you can't have that honest dialogue with the client where they can tell you this is what our budget is. But, you know, we've had people come to us and they'll want us to do a million and one different things, and their budget will be really, really low to the point where it's just unrealistic for them to even get an hour of our time. So you have to figure out how to open up those kinds of lines of dialogue and have that trust associated with it. We've been lucky where a lot of our clients are at a place where they trust, you know, they trust me to tell them the truth about things, and we can have that honest dialogue. You know, and then another piece to be careful of, especially if you're working with clients and professional services or anything professional, is ego. You're going to deal with ego. We've dealt with it. I have dealt with doctors who have a million and one different awards behind them, who are some of the most humble, nicest people in the world. And then you meet the doctors who have done, you know, two or three different things over here. And so they feel like they're floating on air when they walk in. And, you know, you have to, number one, decide if you want to deal with that. And then number two, if you're going to deal with it, how do you deal with that? There are so many different things. I could sit here and for 2 or 3 hours and give you guys kind of like the warnings, you know, the cautionary tale of working with clients. But one thing I will say, one positive thing is, you know, develop healthy relationships with clients and understand it's kind of like hanging out with people, you know, hanging out with friends and stuff. You need to be around people that are positive. And, you know, I'd like to think that the clients that we have are pretty positive. They're doing good things. They're doing positive things. I mean, look at what y'all are doing. You know, we started the Technica story years ago and working with you guys. And we like having clients that are doing things like that. Our Duke clients are amazing. We've got some Duke clients that are doing some crazy innovative things. Our small business clients, Be Downtown, Lee Catherine is all over the place, but she's a client of ours, an urban beekeeper in the middle of downtown Durham with bees over the place. That's, yeah, it's crazy. It's really cool. And, you know, we have things like that, the American Underground. You know, so we like to keep people, we like to keep a range of clients that are really interesting, that make us feel good when we do their stuff. And what I find happens is our team creates better work when they're emotionally invested in what it is that the client does. So that's what I would say.
So what kind of big changes maybe do you see on the horizon in your field, just in maybe even in the marketing or on the web development side?
I see more hybrid companies coming up. Companies that don't just do web development or digital marketing. I'm seeing that there are more companies that are engaging in research, believe it or not, while they're also doing this. So I'm starting to see that happen more and more. That hybrid is one of the things. I'm seeing more companies also streamline things and say, hey, we're doing just website design or graphic design for this particular industry, and that's it. So I'm seeing that happen a lot, you know, which is good, which is definitely good, especially when you find that kind of footing. I think that's a good thing. I don't think that's bad. So, seeing these hybrid companies, but then also seeing kind of these specialist companies, I think that's where people are going. Outside of that, I do think there's still a place for the classically trained graphic design studio. I do think there's a place for the studio that is about typography and color, and these are the things that they focus on. They're craftsmen. I think that thing is, I'm afraid, or I fear that's one of those things that could get lost, especially with web development, because I feel like web development is a craft in itself. But I'm finding that there are a lot of young people coming out of school with all of these. I don't want to say, well, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say like Foundation and Bootstrap and things like this, and they don't have the tools to code without that. So they're becoming dependent on these things, and so they're weaker when they come out. So that's something that scares me a bit, but I do think there's still a place for those companies that code, that appreciate typography. And there are clients out there that appreciate those types of companies. It's just harder to find them, you know, nowadays, because you're getting things that are saying, hey, this is easy, this is quick. Again, going back to that short attention span way of doing things. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that's kind of how the industry is progressing.
So you've talked a lot about positive elements of what you do, and I'm going to continue down that line. So what do you think is your favorite part of this business?
Oh, man, the creation.
If you had to pick one. Okay.
Yeah, the creativity. I get excited when people come up with things that get me excited, like just really cool stuff and coding and graphic design, and then having these really weird projects sometimes. Like one of the things with Be Downtown in particular is we've also got a beehive. So we've been painting the beehive at Complex for the last two or three weeks. Yeah, so that kind of stuff is cool. You know, even like this right here, just even my own creativity, I feel like Complex is an extension of a lot of that. So like right now I'm playing with medium format cameras, film cameras, and being able to create things, and you know, it's just that creative process that I love. I am a businessman, but at the same time my one weakness is I'm so honest, and I don't want people to feel like they've been taken advantage of, so I try to do everything as honest as I can. And some of my peers are just like, nah, man, we need to make this money. And I'm like, nah, you know. You know, so, you know, that's just me. I'm not a money person. Money is necessary to pay the team, keep the company going, but I'm not going to try to take advantage of people. You know, if people give us the opportunity to be creative and to stretch and have fun, and they're going to pay us to do that, that's what I want. That's what I love to do. You know, and that's the kind of people I like to surround myself with, people that are creative, people that have their own creative spirit. And it's something that I talk about in my class. You know, all these experiences that you have throughout your life, everything that you've done impacts the way that you see the world and impacts your perspective. And because it impacts your perspective, there's no one that can design or develop or create in the way that you do, because they don't have that same configuration of experiences. So seeing that those different things from different people is exciting to me, you know, being able to collaborate on a project. Like right now with Hannah is from West Virginia. This is her first time outside of West Virginia coming to Complex and playing in Durham and in Raleigh, and her view of the world is different, you know. And Izzy is another great example. Izzy is, you know, a former, what does she say? I guess electronica EDM. She used to be on the EDM scene. So, you know, she's got the bright red hair, and, you know, she has her own very distinguishable way of dressing, and it's really, really cool. And it impacts her creativity. You know, you see that. You see how she creates. But I love seeing how everyone, you know, kind of manifests who they are in their work. It's just really cool to see that.
Okay. I know you got to run to get to your to get to your class, but I just got as we mentioned earlier, you do teach at UNC.
Yes.
So we were just wondering, like, what kind of topics do you focus on in your lecture? And what kind of advice do you give to your students who are looking to get into this type of field?
Well, oh man, topics. So some of the topics that we go over, the name of the class is News Design, but one of the things with that, and students understand that, the class started as a newspaper design course. And so this is 2017, you're not really seeing as much of that. But one of the things that's still relevant is that structure of design. And so we talk a lot about grid systems and graphic design. We talk a lot about, you know, composition. We cover a lot of the fundamentals in design. We cover color theory. We color form and space and things like that, and branding and how to execute a design and move that design through a variety of different mediums. So that's something that I think is relevant for news, is relevant for branding in itself, and it is relevant for the designer, no matter what it is they want to do. One of the things that I tell my students is design is a craft. It's a craft, and I always relate this to the candle makers in China and some of the other parts of the world where, you know, the children will grow up watching their mother or their father create these candles, and then they're moved into this because either they want to do it or something in the family. And for years and years and years, they're taught to make these perfect candles until they get to the point where they can take on a business and they can do it. But they take years to perfect the craft. And so I tell my students, you know, I'm giving you something for 5 hours a week, but these 5 hours are not the totality of your education. You know, I give you projects that you can also take home with you. And, you know, while we do have lab class where I walk around and I teach them, please spend time at home working and practicing and learning and getting better. But, you know, you always want to understand where everyone else is. You always want to maintain somewhat of a competitive spirit in doing it. But I tell them the same thing that I said earlier about using those unique perspectives as an advantage. That's what they use. So every year that I teach, the first lecture I give usually is about who you are and your culture and what you bring to the table, and learning how to appreciate who you are and learning how to appreciate what, you know, other people bring to the table. You know, there's, you know, I could get into a really, really long, you know, soliloquy about just people appreciating each other, you know, and appreciating their differences, appreciating their culture. And, you know, what happens a lot of times is because we don't understand, we see things on TV, we equate these archetypes from television to a person's culture. And one of the best things you can do is learn how to listen and ask questions and be sensitive to that and absorb it. And I think that's what's important. And then also appreciate who you are. And all those things come out in design. When you can use all that, you can call on all that, that's what makes you a stronger designer. So that's something that I tell them every single year. And also, you know, again, just go out there and you know, don't wait for someone to give you something. You know, go out there and execute. Go out there and grind and ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, surround yourself with people who have either a similar drive or even more drive than you do. You know, you always want to continue to grow and grow and grow. So those are some of the things that I talk about. And it's not always technically applicable. I can't talk. But, you know, these are things that are your life lessons that I think I think these lessons aren't just related to design. These are lessons that can help them just move through life and learn how to get jobs and work with each other. So, you know, I think these are the types of things that really, really make a difference to them.
Well, thank you so much, Tobias. I know you got to run here.
Yeah, no
problem. Tobias Rose with Complex Creative. We will put the information about Complex on our website in case you are looking to revamp your website or just marketing in general. Thank you again for coming out here and joining us here for the Technicast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, great.
All right.
Thanks so much. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks. Thank
you.
Bye.
Bye.